welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Conversation. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about relationships. We're going to be talking about long distance relationships and just a little bit of a side of both worlds. I don't know if we get to touch on that, but we do get to talk a lot about relationship and faith and, you know, navigating that reality. And you get to hear from my amazing guest and my amazing sister. We talk a lot about, you know, when we cross over to the other side. I had a lot of fun. She dropped a lot of nuggets, you know, and it was just amazing. So I hope you guys get to enjoy this episode as much as I did. Doesn't, you know, this gets to bless me more than I don't want to say more than it blesses you all. So enjoy this episode, and if you feel there's someone who would benefit, you know, please feel free to share it with them. Please follow our podcast page wherever you're listening from: Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, wherever you're following from, you know. I'll see you on the other side. Bye. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pink Glasses Convo again. I'm saying like six again, so this is your reminder to go on to all the episodes if you haven't. But welcome back to PGC. I am so excited to have y'all listen today. I have another guest because, like I said, I'm just going to be using all the people in that God has given me in my circle and in my community, and I'm gonna have you all draw from their wells of wisdom. Today I have a good friend and sister of mine. I think like you have this kind of like friendships where it's like y'all are friends, but then that there's some that they're like your sisters, like they're like your G's, but they're also like kind of like big sisters, but not really big sisters, but they're like your friends. It's like, is this really nicely weird in a good way? Like, relationship, honestly, it's, you know, it's so interesting. You know, it's like mentally I'm like, oh, I know Kenny is my friend, and then I'm like, ah, you know, like, ah, shewapa, you know, which, you know, in our language is a sign of respect, you know. But then it's also like she's trying to take care of, like, which is also a sign of like you guys are like in the same age group, or you guys are kind of like geez. And so interestingly, you know, that's kind of like the person I have today. That's Kenny, you know, and no better person. We're just starting earlier, and I'm like, there's no better person in my opinion that I have in my community, honestly, in this moment, that I can say I will want to have this conversation on relationship with. Just because, not because her relationship or her marriage is perfect. There ain't no perfect one out there. But because you just know those people that like trust God and are constantly working with God, and you can just kind of like, God help them so that I can be helped too, you know. It's not just like, ah, God, like, ah, God, when am I a potato kind of relationship? Like, no, that's not the point. It's like, you're just trusting what God is doing in their life. And so that's Kenny, you know. She's a singer. I mean, she's, oh my God, she knows Buko. You know, she eats book. That's the literal translation, but really what I'm trying to say is that she loves education. You know, she's a scientist. I rarely have a lot of female friends that are scientists, but when I do, when you see them cold glasses wearer, you know that this one, did they chop book, you know. So anyways, welcome to PGC, Kenny. Do you want to say hi to everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello everyone, it's such a privilege, such a great honor to be here, and to, is it virtual meet y'all or to be thank you for having me, Ola.
Of course. I know, like, I feel like the past guests have talked about it, where it's like, I'm saying hello to people that I've not seen or I'm not seeing. It's like, there's a virtual audience I'm trying to create. somewhere in my mind, I was like, have this conversation. I'm like, no, you're not going crazy. No, you're not having hallucinations, either visual or auditory. That's what podcasting is about, is that you're relating to an audience that you cannot see, but you can put yourself and empathize, you know, with them. Right. And so, you know, like I've said earlier, like Kenny and I will be kind of talking about navigating relationships. We're going to sprinkle a little bit of long distance relationship in there. And I'm just going to acknowledge, I was telling one of my friends, I was just like, finally, some of us will get to hear your love life. And I'm like, all of you are just gossipers. That's what you people are, just trying to get into my business. You know, but as the Lord leads, like I'll be we'll be talking about relationship today. We'll be talking about kind of like navigating that space, how it looks like. It's going to be very, you know, framework. It's going to be very general, you know, as PGT continues to grow, as we continue to go deeper and deeper, we'll kind of start dealing into like specific areas of relationship or specific areas of marriage, right? And so that's today, though. It's just, what does it look like, you know, being in a relationship as a believer? What does it even look like being in a relationship at all? How do you deal with questions of like, God, did I really hear you? Or do I need you to open heaven back and shine the light and show that guy's picture or that girl's picture to me and say, this is my beloved in whom I'm well placed, you know? And so like, how do you really navigate that? And Kenny and I have had tons of conversations over the last couple of years that we've known each other. And so let's dig in, Kenny. Like, do you want to give us a background or a summary, you know, of kind of like your relationship, or just even like what you think relationships are or what you think relationships should be? Let's, wherever your mind is going, take us there.
That's pretty interesting. Dicey.
We won't be canceled, don't worry. We are covered with the blood of Jesus. Children of God don't get canceled.
I don't really know if I have like a definition of what a relationship is or should be, but just for my own layman terms, right? I think relationship is just between, you know, like generally speaking, a relationship, not even like maybe marriage or courting, just relationship, generally speaking. I think God just created man to interact as a social being. And so just have it in us to want to relate with other people. Now, bearing down to just, you know, male and female, now looking more into the rivers of, you know, courting or marriage, because I don't know if I like to use the word dating. I see it more as just building a connection with someone and glorify God. That's that's the end goal. Not just selfish interest of my relationship with someone has six packs, and you know, because I have ideas. But just ultimately building a bond with someone or union with someone who at the end of the day, both of you together bring glory to God.
Amen.
So that's just like high level. But again, as I and Ola go, I think we'll go deeper into the waters.
This is how you know the kind of person that is talking to us. They see that, you know, people will naturally start from the bottom, kind of like a flight. They take it from the bottom, you know, kind of like one of my pastors would say, it's at the bottom shelf. You know, it's a cookie at the bottom shelf. She started from, okay, by me, at the top of the mountain. It's not like, okay, if you choose to stay to the end of this conversation, then I'll help you break it down. If not, go and meet Holy Spirit to help you break it down for you. But like you said, you know, it's about God. That's the end. You know, as believers, as people of faith, everything's end should be God. And I think that's something that was my major take home from the book, the relationship group that we did, you know, which probably if Kenny and I continue to have this conversation, we'll probably touch on it. But that was probably one of the books that changed my life, you know. Rest in peace to you know, Timothy Keller, and just the power of the book. I think it was like The Meaning of Marriage was like the book. But it says Meaning of Marriage, but a ton of it talks on relationship, because you can't have a good marriage without having a good relationship.
Right.
And so it has to go back to God. Everything that God puts around us, within us, over us, under us, whatever it is, it has to go back to God. It has to be to build us back to God. It has to be to reconcile us back to God. It must. It's not like, let's leave religion to one side. There's nothing like that. When you really are working spiritually, you have to put it in the middle. You have to mix it. It has to be your bagger. It has to be the batter that you used to make that amazing cookie, right? Or that amazing dough. And so I appreciate you starting from there and laying that foundation of like God, and as the end of the relationship. And you mentioned something you talked about before you met your now amazing husband, who, by the way, his name is Taiwo and she's Kenny. I promise they are not of the same mother and the same father. We don't practice incest yet. Please disclaimer, you know. But before you met the amazing T, you know, who is officially my big brother. That was never like friend or sister. This is like officially big brother. How a little bit about that, your relationship journey, at least to the relationship point with T.
Yes.
Take us there.
Absolutely, I can. So I remember back then, I was in a previous relationship, but I was just on a journey of discovery. So I remember the person I was dating then we just started to, because again, I was born in a Muslim family. So I started to, you know God for myself. I started to know the person of the Holy Spirit. And then I was still dating this person, but I had a strong conviction then to end the relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear, again, sometimes on social media these days, you will hear people say, oh, you know, this sister in church or this brother in church is breaking up with someone and lying that it's the Holy Spirit that is telling them to. We've heard things that has come up, and it's just a very sad thing. But genuinely, for me then, it was a strong conviction that this is not something I want you to do.
Yeah. Just,
and it was a lot of battle in my soul, because I'm like, I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to. But God is like, this is not a journey I'm taking you on. So I remember I'd sought a big sister in the Lord then, who was like a mentor to me at that time. And I told her, and she's like, you know, because every time I was praying, every time I was studying the Bible, God would tell me, I would hear it clearly. And then by myself, I'm like, no, I cannot do that. She's like, okay, you know what? When I told her about, she's like, you know what? Bring your phone. And I gave her my phone. She was like, where is the person's number? I was like, what are you trying? She said, no, show me the person's number. And she's like, oh, you're calling now and end it. Don't worry. I'll be here to hug you. I'll be here to make you cry. But I want to make sure that I'm not going to leave you not to follow God's will.
Yeah.
Right? So I did that. And the funny thing is, immediately I did that then and I ended relationship, you know, I felt like a burden got lifted off my shoulder. You know, I felt I would feel guilt, which again, I felt bad that I had to do that. But I'm like, in the great, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you remember when Peter was telling the Pharisees then, like, who should I obey? Who should I be afraid of, God or man? So I was like, God is definitely, you know, more important to me. So I did.
Yeah.
So for me, it was not like I ended my relationship and then jumped into another. It was now a journey of me and, you know, Christ. Like, it was like a love relationship with me and Christ. Like, so I felt like myself growing more. I was like hungry for God. We're like, I was studying my word together. Me people in church, it was good. So I was really growing with God. And I remember telling God, like, okay, no relationship for now with another person until I hear clearly you telling me this is the next person. Because ain't our sister about to break another brother's heart. You know what I mean?
Because they don't break our hearts. We break people's hearts. Amen. Right. Hallelujah.
So I was just like me and God. And then funny enough, all of a sudden, because I started to attend the church, you remember I grew up in Muslim, I was just, you know, like wanting a church then in school, back then in UI. So I started to go to church really, and then just started to enjoy fellowship with other people. And I remember my now husband T, we used to joke then, hey, my brother, because it's Taiwo now and I'm Kendi. So it was just funny, like we're twins. So I just used to call him my elder twin brother because, I mean, he's older than me. And then we're just friends. We'll go on evangelism together with other people mm-hmm. in church then. And then we were just, you know, friends.
Yeah.
So I found out that I started crushing on him. So
hallelujah.
I was like, hey, this is distraction. Oh, dear Lord, help me. Father, Lord. So I remember then I prayed a funny prayer and I was like, God, if he's the one, open his eyes to see me.
Yeah.
If he's not the one, take him far away
from you.
Now, jokes on me, God definitely has a sense of humor because he came to church and told us he was traveling to the America.
For
his PhD degree. So I was like, God, I was just joking now. Like, I did not really mean that you should take him away.
Somebody cannot play with you, God.
I was just joking. But I was like, well, maybe it's just a distraction. And then, you know, so he traveled. I was in Nigeria. I was doing my internship. I was in 400 level. So I was just like on internship, enjoying God, doing things like that. And then, long story short, because I don't want to take everybody's day to day. I know we all like this. So I had we had a youth pastor then in church. He was not the main pastor, but he was like a youth pastor. And he like really loved the youth. We would talk to him. He was like a mentor to us then. And then he just came to Lagos one time. I was like, Kenny, how are you? How have you been? So where are things going with you? Because, you know, I was in a relationship there. I was like, oh, no, sir, I'm no longer in a relationship. Like, this was what God was leading me to do, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, and he's like, oh, interesting. Okay, that's good. As long as, you know, you're in a relationship with God, you're enjoying yourself and you're growing, that's absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
Only not for me to know that he had gone to tell my brother that, hey, you to how far was up? He's like, no, his thing is like, I got you, bro. You know, this person will be like, I'll do the Lord's doing for you. So he's like, Kenny's single. It was later, my husband was telling me this. Later, I was like, well, Kenny's single, and I trust that you take it from there. So I found out that myself, he just started reaching out to me more. And I was like, is this not the distraction that I told God to take away from me?
Did God bring the distraction back? Are you onto something, God?
Principality of power.
Every distraction.
But we just started chatting, and you know, we just started chatting more and chatting more, and then we just talk about things. We just talk about God. You ask me how I'm growing, things like that.
Yeah,
it was pretty good, and I was like, this person that really cares about my, you know, spiritual growth. So I was found out that, and these feelings are started coming back.
Mm.
I went to tell my pastor's wife then, because she was like a mother of ours. So I had to tell her, just to keep myself safe. And so she's like, okay, like there's nothing bad in that, but I want you to pray and let me know what God tells you.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I started to pray about it. And then, you know, God didn't specifically tell me a word. I just felt peace in my heart. I'm like, okay, God. You have to give me a script, like scripture to hold on to, because when the going gets tough, I don't just want to say I felt peace in my heart. You know, it has to be something for me to
there
latch
has to be
on.
An anchor.
Yeah, yes, there has to be an anchor. So I remember God giving me, is it Matthew 6:33 now? Let me double check. That says, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And his righteousness.
No, things shall be added unto you.
Yeah, Matthew 6:33. Correct. And every other thing shall be added unto you. Says, like, you've been seeking me. Trust me to just lead you on this journey. So I was like, okay, God, that is my word. I'll run with it. And so that's how I and T-Von started talking, you know. And he also, I found out that he actually really started liking me. And then we went from there. And so things just, you know, built from there, just to tie it all up for now.
And they build and build and build. And after building, and they got married. And after they got married, they have an amazing baby boy who you might hear him knock on the door for his mother. So, you know, but thanks for sharing again. I mean, I've heard the story a couple of times, but it still amazes me how God brings people together and how different, you know, he bringing us together is. I think sometimes we try to get caught up in this, and I talk about this a lot, comparison trap of like, this is how he did it for somebody. It has to be this way for me, or it has to go in this pattern, right? And to say, like, I always want to give the caveat of, like, breaking up with someone doesn't mean that that person is bad.
No.
It just could be that, like, God, with the season that you are in and the season that God is taking them to, I mean, in relationship now, even they be in courting relationship, it's a whole different dynamics with marriage. Let me first go and give the caveat. But come and quote me 38 years from now. You know, it could be that the season of life that, you know, that person is, or the path that God is taking that person to, it might not just be a good mix. You know, so the fact that somebody is a core believer and you're a core believer and you both break up, or God is saying, is no longer saying yes to it, it doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them evil. Of course, maybe there are issues of conflict between both of you that led to the breakup or something, you know, but it doesn't make them bad. And I always really want to clarify that, right? Of like, this didn't end this person. They must be very bad people. No, they, you know, God can work in them. I mean, I don't know, but high ministers of God probably had relationships before, you know, before they met our high women of God now. It doesn't mean that people that they're with, some of them might be pastors, some of them, you know, might be influencing lives. You just don't know. And some of them might not, you know. And so I always like to give that caveat. But I like how you said of, like, how God spoke to you also of, like, I felt peace and I need a word, you know. I think understanding that this is something I battled with for a really, really long time. And I think, Kenny, I remember some of our conversations where it's like, is there a specific way I'm expecting God to speak to me about this particular relationship to get this confirmation? You know, because you hear, which is not bad, again, another caveat, is not bad, you know, but you hear some other sisters and brothers of faith talk about seeing revelations or seeing things or hearing specific words and visions for this person that they're going to get married to and how it's going to go. And you hear something like that, and you're like, I'm not a vision. Never know. Come on, me. You know, does that mean that the person I'm with, or does that mean that that relationship is not right? Because I battled with it, and I've had conversations with, you know, sisters of mine, baby girls of mine, and I'm like, it's like, well, how am I really sure though? And I'm like, and I remember something that my mama told me a long time ago, and she said, Olaoluwa, you have to trust that God will not lead you astray, and that he loves you and he wants the best for you more than you want for yourself. And so I think a lot of times when those thoughts come, just because of my own personality, right, it's like, I wanted it to be in a specific way is because I wanted control, you know, to be like, these are how I received it, these are how I got it. And so I want to have that control. And God saw that. And so he didn't, for my relationship, I believe that he didn't speak to me in those ways. Because even when there are times when I'm like, God, if you don't show me right now, this boy is gone. And maybe something happens and, you know, God gives me a confirmation through someone, or God works the conflict through someone, and I'm like, and it's like, oh, definitely, that's the sign. 2 days later, I'll be like, maybe I'm just making up this sign.
I think that God speaks to us in unique ways. I remember I read something where someone did say that, I think sometimes you're looking for the spectacular and we miss supernatural. Hey. God is not, like, sometimes we're looking for this, God said, and, oh, I saw a dream. Like, sometimes God might not work with us that way. He leads us primarily through the inner witness, which is the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I hear you, because I've been there where I'm like, God, are you speaking to me? Are you the one? Speak this way, speak that way, because I've had that. Did it for someone, but it speaks to the unique hue. It knows how Ola will hear him.
Yep.
It's different from how Kenny will hear him. Yep. So so that we don't lose the spiritual in seeking the spectacular.
Yeah. 100%. Because, like, and I think it's one of control.
Yeah.
To be honest. True. When we begin to tell God that God, this is how I want you to speak to me. He could answer us and meet us there because he's our father, and he might know that, okay, just to help this girl's faith, let me meet her where she's at. But a lot of times he won't. It doesn't make him less of God. That doesn't make us less of his children. But that means, because he knows that the moment he speaks to us that way, we might now take hold or take control or try to be like, you know, even when he's trying to teach us, or because the same God that said yes can say no. I've seen relationships that I'm sure a couple of percentage that they heard from God to go into that relationship. And he never made marriage. And they're believers. They're strong believers. And they're people who trust God. But they never made it to marriage. Doesn't make any of them bad. Most of them, at least the different relationships that I know, have gotten married. They're still children of God. Their marriage is blissful to the glory of God. It's not perfect. You know, they're married to God's children as well. And God is helping them. So, as much as you want to listen to that God said in this manner, in this way, what if he turns out the same God that told Abraham to go and have Isaac? If Abraham have put cotton wool inside his ear and did not hear God one day, he would have gone and sacrificed Isaac when God told him to stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, like, we always have to listen and trust that God is speaking to us in a certain way. There's no formula. So, if you're like, and the reason why I'm expanding on this a little bit is that I'm guessing that this is a lot of questions that people who are trusting God for relationship have, is like, how will I know that this person is for me? How will I know that this person is not? When I'm praying, I have this set of people. My mom will always say, rule number one, follow God's rule, is that there's no premarital sex. If you're, you know, no judgment to people who have fallen, who are trusting God, who have made decisions in the past, and they're like, God, have you submitted my life to you? Or something like that. There's no judgment in any way, in any form, in any capacity. But my mom would say a lot of times when she's ministering, and she would be like, you cannot be actively sleeping with so many people and then take all those people to God, or take all those people to a particular prophet, or take all those people to a particular pastor, and I tell the prophet that, which one is my husband? The prophet should tell you everything. It's all of your husband, because you have stamped them with something that God has reserved for your husband, right? Again, in no condemnation in any way. We've all made mistakes, and we've all made decisions that were like, God, I need your mercy. You know, God, I need your grace. And so just say that there are multiple ways that, because I think, like, for me, because I struggled with that, you know, God spoke to me on my relationship in so many different ways. Through, like, how conflicts were resolved, I think through peace. I think even when I wanted to, like, point out all the things that were wrong and all the things that didn't want to make it make sense, because I'm a control, you know, I want this to be perfect. I want my A to be, the slanting should be slanted and the dash to be dashed. And so if it's slant a little bit, I'm like, could it work? It cannot work. And God is like, You don't own that. What if I want that A to be slant so that it can be cursive for your life? But you want it to be straight A, capital letter. And I'm like, no, I won't curse it for your life. And so just to share a little bit about kind of like, for me, that was kind of like my own experience and my own history. But one thing I always say too is, you have to be, which is something I learned from the book, you have to first be a believer before you can be a good partner, or you can be a good, you know, fiance or fiance. Because like you, I kind of share with that boyfriend and girlfriend, not because it's a bad thing, it just sometimes make it feel very casual, you know, when you use, you know, some of those words. But you have to first be a good believer. What do you think about that?
I mean this is actually also an interesting part, because I always say that not just the believer, a good partner is someone whose mind, who is submitted to God, knowing the mind. Because we see a lot of these things in church, you know, people saying he's a pastor and he's beating his wife, or is it? And you, we see people who are believers, right? Because there's still the human factor, Ola. Like you said, there are some people who God is saying, yes, this is your husband, right? But they went their separate way, because even though God speaks, there's still the human factor.
Hallelujah.
Human
Lord.
And I always like to, because I see a lot of some things that just breaks my heart, is that this person or this brother, you know, he's a brother and he's a believer. You say he's a brother, he's a believer, but he's someone that is still broken, that is still, he probably has not submitted his mind. So for me, I just feel like to make a good partner, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be a Christian who is submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who is teachable.
Yeah.
I can never forget one time I was having issues with my now husband. He was my fiance then. I was having just a lot of issues. I thank God we had mentors, because again, it was long distance relationship. And he would tell me, okay, Kenny, let's discuss these issues. What issues am I having with him? I'm like, he's not romantic. He's not this. He's not that.
Don't
like,
mind that. Okay. My brother is romantic.
Like, way, in fact, he's like 1,000% romantic now. But wait, then. It's like, Kenny, those things can be worked on. Those things can be learned.
First
of all, is he a man? Is he a godly man? Then, do you think he's teachable? Because as long as he's someone who is surrendered to authority, as long as he's someone who is teachable, he can learn those things and grow. So I just said that all that to say that I don't think only a believer will make a good partner. Like there are some unbelievers who make good partners.
True.
But for marriage, which is ordained by God, to be enjoyed the way God wants us to, it has to be someone who submitted to the authority of Christ to make, because we're not just looking at marriage like, it's a good marriage. It has to be marriage God's way, right? Because marriage was ordained by God. So I just wanted to add that caveat as not just the believer, but a believer who is submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit and who is teaching.
I appreciate you expanding, because I'm, you know, like, it's not just having the tag of believer on your body. The tag of believer on your head is to be a good person, which, thank you, Jesus, is where I was going to, and I appreciate you going, making sure we go into that direction of like being a good, like, God can say yes, like you said, I'm going to repeat everything you said, and that relationship will still break,
right?
God can say this is the person, and that relationship will still break, because, you know, you both are not working on your character. And it's all of us. We all fall short. We all fall short. You know, we are, I mean, we sin our flesh. Our flesh, death, sin, flesh. I mean, there's no, I don't know how to put it in a sentence that will make it different. Flesh, sin, death is there. And that's why that's why Christianity is a journey. It's not, it's not just defeating my enemies in Ijebu Ode in my village, or you know, making sure that my glory would shine. You know, shout out to all our, so some of our mothers and our fathers, that's where their faith is, and that's how God would, that's where God will meet them. But as for us in this our generation, we must do something different. You know, we must attain something different, where like our Christianity will not just end on what we want from God, or how we want to be attain a certain type of financial or societal standard, or we want to do bow and blow. That's not just what we want from God. Like, is that there has to be a real transformation. Is that when God will come back, you'll be like, Jesus 1, Jesus 2, Jesus 3, Jesus 4, Jesus, Jesus 6. Because that means that like we have been transformed, right? Is that we're looking onto the glass, and we have been, that's what the Bible says, right? Is that we are being changed onto the same image that we are seeing. Right, we're not seeing ourselves, we're seeing Jesus. And so every time we come back in word, in prayer, in everything, is that we'll be seeing Jesus, and we'll not be like the person who looks at the mirror and forgets what he looked at. We'll look at the mirror by the help of God and remember. And when we do, that's what I was going to say, when we do that, when our being a believer is that, by the help of God, I'm not saying I'm perfect in it, but to encourage the heart of people, and to also encourage myself, if being a believer, in quote and unquote, that I'm saying, that is what I'm saying, is that you are constantly being submitted to the Holy Spirit. Like you're saying, is that you're constantly submitted to God for that transformation, for that renewal, and you are changing. So it's chipping it off small, small, even though, you know, there's some strong girl there, because it's not easy. You're a bad girl, Mojabu, it's plenty. But you're still letting God chip off some. You're letting it chip off a little bit. You know, he's chipping off some. Yeah, you look at it again, be like, for me, I'm not perfect, but. We'll go back. He still loves me all the way. Okay, let his love transform me. And you're chipping that in. and you're bringing that into relationship, it can work. Because there are people who did not hear from God. The people who got married as unbelievers and they found mercy with God and their marriages are still working.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so, of course, it's different. There's a difference between the morality side of it, where you're just being moral, but spirituality when you're trusting God to help you, you know. And so definitely, like, I appreciate us going down the line, because I believe these are rudiments to relationship. Again, we are just talking about relationship, whatever level or stage your relationship is. Either you're in the beginning stage, your fiancé and fiancé, your husband and wife, or 2 months, 3 months, 10 years, 5 years, 78 years, whatever it is, these are rudiments of relationships that God help us to know and God help us to practice, right? So going into it a little bit, just a little bit more, you know, there's the long distance piece for both of us. You know, we've talked about foundations of relationship. We've talked about being a believer, you know, and relationship as a person of faith, so to speak. I want us to touch about, to use the meaning of our time, however long or short that is, to talk about long distance, because we both did it, but we were on flip sides of it, you know. So for my end, I was the one that jackpot. I said peace out and moved, you know, and let the sweet gentleman air quotes, you know, and left him back in Nigeria. And then after a couple of years of dating, I think about 3 years of being together, and then I moved, right? And so I was the one that left. But you, on the other side, tell us about it. What was your own? I think you've touched about it, but let's go into that realm a little bit.
That's so interesting. This topic came.
That's why you're here.
So, like, for me, how I was sharing, like, my husband, who was my, like, as at that time, he had traveled before we even started dating. So we started dating February 2016. Mm. And we didn't get married until July 2018. So it was like 2.5 years of long distance relationship. Boy, that was not the easiest of things to do.
Yeah.
It was challenging. I wouldn't say it was hard. It was really challenging. But I think it had its very good advantages. Mm-hmm. And I will touch on advantage, because I think sometimes I'm always looking at the disadvantages first. For me, it was good because it allowed both of us grow. Mm. We used to say our first year of marriage, we never even had any argument, any issue, because it felt like we had other arguments.
Not the argument that you want to argue. You have argued in the past. Yeah.
You know, when the network in Nigeria is not good, when you're communicating in the same place. So a lot of things is on the phone. So sometimes, you know, there's miscommunication that could lead to disagreement. So it was not the easiest of things. We had serious challenges that we almost ended the relationship. And to what you think earlier, Ola, is that, you know, there's something, God will say yes to this relationship, but men happen, humans happen, and then you go your separate ways, and you're like, did I not hear correctly? Like, for us, we had those issues. But what helped myself and my husband was having a spiritual mentor we're both submitted to. And that really helped work for us, because long distance relationship, y'all, we'll be calling the network in Nigeria. It's calling me like, can you hear me?
Hello.
You're hearing the 5 minutes later, and then,
like, I said that, but by way of, where are you? I heard you. What did you say? I heard that one. What did you say after?
It was a mess. Like, well, that was actually how it was. Plus, you know, the time difference as well. Mm. So a lot of times it will be when I'm back from work in the evening, when he is just about to go to work, or I'm about to leave. So sometimes it was like in the night, in the early hours, midnight, that we'll be talking. So it was good, but again, it had its advantages, because we both grew. We both really grew. Like, he, like, finding his own person, I was finding my own person, then the middle. again, that was really good. So it definitely was helpful. Again, it had its challenges. So, it was hard. Like, again, like I said, there were times we had serious issues. And I'm like, for instance, I was like, this man is just not romantic.
Mm.
Like, how can you be saying, you tell me to go and learn something, learn this skill? I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, oh, please. Like, can I do my own thing?
Mm.
But aside from those, were even just mere banters. We had like serious issues. Like, serious issues where it's like, I don't even think I can, you know, marry this person.
Yeah. But
like I said, we had someone we're answerable to. We're both answerable to, who was like the youth pastor who had brought both of us together by the you know, grace of God. And, you know, we'll have issues. He will talk to him. I'll talk to his wife. He'll speak to both of us together and say, this thing you're going through, we went through it. So don't think that it's only both of us going through. Because you go through things and you're like, I'm the only one going through this in the whole world.
Yeah, nobody else.
It's not true. That's a lie of the devil. So just having those people speak over us, people that, you know, talk to, people report to, was actually really, really helpful. And just the leading of the Holy Spirit, it just, I cannot overemphasize like the person of the Holy Spirit in our relationship. Because there are sometimes we'll have these arguments, I will just cut the call. And those spirits will be looking at you. You know what you feel like those spirits will be looking at you? Like, no, wait.
What you just... Clap for your head. Sometimes... sometimes I'm
what you like, just sit out.
Holy Spirit, just one, no. That's what I say. I say it out. I'll be like, Holy Spirit, one, no. Continue, Holy Spirit. You have done your own.
And the funny thing is, oh, God is just so good. You know, I repent in my heart and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. And I'm about to call him. And he will call me and he's like, you know what? I was actually pissed off, but the Holy Spirit told me to call you. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Because, like, he's working in both of us together. So I think that was, for us, again, that was critical because it was someone who was submitted to God. I'm someone who was submitted to God. Again, are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're not. In fact, marriage is the one that you cannot even work out of, like for us. No, we are not giving to working out of marriage. So like you be having some,
you have entered the same trouser.
You know, and the Lord will. So again, long distance relationship was hard because we had to do it for 2.5 years. You know. And he had come home December 2016. I said, well, and then he had to go back again. 6 years because I said, for the airport. Tears.
I'm even jealous.
What am I supposed to do? I'm even jealous.
I am jealous, you know.
But good, because we're now like busy with purpose as well. Not like doing purpose separately, but like he was also doing his own thing here. He was studying, he was going to church, he was doing his evangelism. I was also doing my own there. So it was like we had things to talk about. So for us, it was not more of, let's go to the eatery and go and eat. I'll be eating and be talking about deep things. Like we just deep things over the phone, which is critical. It's not just I like you and then bam, and then in marriage you are discovering a lot of, you know, stinky things, which again, marriage is always a discovery. You're always discovering that. But I felt like we both ironed out a lot of issues
in the while dating, we date in the courtship stage.
We just had to talk. I mean, we can't go on date together and, you know, go out together and do it. We just had to. There was a lot of conversation, So,
I have stories, you know. I have stories, but the centuries to come, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, again, I think the beauty of PGC and the beauty of, you know, having people over is to let people know that diverse experiences, diverse ways. Yeah. It is still God, right? Different types, different variations, is still God. The same God that works in Pentecostal is the same God that works in Catholic, that is the same God that works in African originated churches, the same God that works in non-denominational churches, right? It is still the same God. And so I can definitely relate with like long distance helping you to grow, because you're not single, but there is this. It will be both a, permit me to say, a blessing and a curse, in that you're both not together to be close. Your Bluetooth is not physically connected where you can be like, ah, okay, like this person is near me, let me connect. You know, but there's ability to grow, you know, where, I mean, I moved for school and he was building his business, right? He was building his photography. Mm-hmm. He was building his skills as a professional. He was building himself, his brand, you know, he was building, being able to work with community organizations and volunteer and all those stuff. And I was doing my thing, not just education wise, you know, but even in ministry, you know, and so it allows you to grow because you are not really in each other. There's no, let's meet at 7 o'clock downstairs. You know, mine was different because we did in person together, right? Like for like 3 years, and then I moved, and then we did long distance for like 3.5.
Wow.
And then I'm like, wow, you know, I'm not here to tell you not to do long distance, just to anybody listening who is thinking about doing long distance, because if everybody had told me, which most people did, that it would never work or it was never a thing, relationships like mine and Kenny's would never have happened, would never have been established. I think God works in different ways. I just know that the path is one that you need God, that you need support, because it could be a very, very difficult path. But it's doable with God on your side. Because the moment you cross that marriage barrier and you are like you are in the same space, you totally knocks out every past experience, to be honest. It knocks out, not that it invalidates it, but then you're like, okay, you are here, you are near me. I can't, you know, you are in that close proximity. So this is not anyway to be like, I'm not going to come on podcast and be like, don't try to do long distance. Oh, it doesn't work. I'm never going to say that because I am not God. And God has made long distance work for so many people. It doesn't have to be cross country, right? It could be intra country where someone is in Texas and the other person is in, Seattle, Washington, right? Yeah. It could be one person is in Canada, one person is in the US. I have friends that like were in different parts of the same country. One person was in Lagos, the other person was in Kaduna, or the other person was in Kano, or the other person was in Enugu. We're still long distance. It's not like you can call each other and be like, meet me in 2 hours, and one person will come downstairs, right? So long distance is difficult because there's more conflict because of communication, like you've so eloquently talked about. It will test. You think you can talk, enter long distance. So we know that it's mouse you have, you cannot talk. You know, it tests your patience. It tests your ability to communicate and submit to God, right? When God is telling you that, like, no, call that person back. You can choose not to, because not that they'll come to your house. Except you want to fly, you know. But you can. So if you are, again, it goes back to if you're submitted to God, which is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's every time that I listen to them do something, I used to do it. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. But it's not every time, right? But the goal and the growth is that as we continue to come, like Abbe or Jomo Song will say, we behold until we are formed. And so we keep building until like we are formed, and we keep transforming. But long distance tested me. It tested me.
It did.
Glory to Jehovah. It tested, you know, you have conflict where you're like, this is a sign from God that this thing cannot work.
Yes. And you feel like you have a choice. You're like, this is Google we can our separate ways.
Yes, but this conflict has shown me that what I need from God to say, but you know deep inside that this is conflict and this is not God, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, if there are times when if you're in a relationship like that way, you're like, you're feeling a type of way or you're seeing certain patterns and you're like worried of like, is this person really committed? Is this, please go to God, you know, submit those thoughts to God, ask God for clarity. One of my friends can testify, there was this big conflict that we had. I said, God, she was on the phone with me that day. I was like, God, you are holding me down. Just give me the word. I need, I want to go.
Keep it, go ahead.
Give me the power to stop. Even if I maybe it's, I think it's this thing that because I was not patient to hear. I'm waiting for you. But that was my, at a point, the Holy Spirit has to be like, you're not asking me for solution. You are telling me what you think the solution is. Because I wasn't telling God that, God, what's the next step? God, what are you wanting? I was telling God that, God, cancel it by fire. You know, but what God did instead, which till now still amazes me every time I talk about it, which is really, is that God was washing away the anger. Is the moment I changed it from God end it to God let your will be done, and every time I took it to the secret place, God was washing, he was washing away the anger, and I'm like, I can never recover from this anger. I'm like, it cannot work. Sis, you remember those things? And I'm like, my head is boiling. As in, it cannot work anymore. It's over. God, I just want you to give me, so that it's not be like I'm a disrespectful child. Just give me the word that is over. And after a while, you know, I look back and I'm like, when God says forgive and forget, God can give you the capacity not to forget the instant, but to let go of the emotions.
Like, right.
It cannot come. If it was a conflict where I'm like, I can never forget this conflict in my life, it shouldn't be that conflict. Where even if I talk about it, I don't feel the anger anymore. I mean, there are other conflicts that happened like 2 minutes ago that I still feel the anger till now. But that one, right? And so again, like, I just know that, like, there isn't a lot of encouragement out there for people in long-distance relationships. I'm just going to be honest. And it's doable. I don't know how to
say it. It's doable. And like you said, there's not a lot of support because, again, my own time, like, some of... I won't call them friends. More of acquaintances, like... or those guys that were interested, quote-unquote, were interested in me, tell you, where's your boyfriend? My boyfriend is not like his long time relationship is in the America. And they were like, do you know what he's doing there? Be with it, especially what is, you know, and they'll describe him and say, oh, better he cannot come back for you. You know, those kind of interesting.
Oh, but yeah.
Or word of encouragement to people who are, you know, probably long distance. Like now, it's even for quarter. I cannot even advise people who are married because I don't
know. Ah, no, no. It's cutting, please. Marriage.
Just a word of encouragement is if you can find not just someone, like a couple who can mentor you, maybe you and your spouse, who you're submitted to. I mean, I just feel like, because again, God does give gifts in form of people. And for me and my husband, that was critical. God knew what we needed per time, per season. So if both of you are submitted to someone or like a Christian couple, Bible believing, please, because I know some situations where some people have led them astray and say, no, it's not, you know, but Bible believing, and again, how do you do this? You don't just choose randomly. It's that you commit that into God's hands and say, God, you know the people I need per season.
Yeah.
Just give me the people that I need for this season. You know, covenant friends, or because I cannot just, I mean, we've had this conversation again and again and again. It's like, if you have people you're both submitted to that can call you both to order, that if my husband was acting somehow, I know who to speak to. That is a spiritual, that is answerable to spiritually. And he knows who I can, like, Kenny's behaving. I don't have to speak to my wife, but I know someone who I know that knows she's also answerable to, that can speak to her by the help of the Holy Spirit, and she will not but listen.
Yeah.
You know. So again, just to encourage people out there, like, if you're doing long distance relationship, you can have that core or those core people that both of you are answerable to. So that it's not like someone you'll be reporting your husband. It's not like reporting, like, but someone who you can both talk to and say, this is where we are at. You have to save us, you have to help us now, you know,
you
know.
Well, I have a question, sis, and I've had conversations with people, right? And a lot of men don't like that. A lot of men don't want you telling their business. There's that, which could be a personality thing, which could be a cultural thing, which could also be a process, right? Where they're in that stage of like, don't tell my business to anybody. And then as they continue to submit to God and grow and all of that, they get more and more open to it. But I've heard more often than not, is men not wanting their business after.
No, I absolutely get so that.
What do you encourage to... I'm going to advocate for my sisters out here. What do you encourage to women in that situation where... Because I remember, like, for me, when we went long distance, right? I could talk to you, right? Mm. And there are times where, like, or, like, even my mama, for instance, like, at least you always seem like, sis, friend. Like, I remember then my school mother, like, I'll call her and then I say that, you know, she would tell her husband and then her husband would call my boss in, you know, back in Nigeria, and it's like there's that submission. But I still want to look out for sisters who, like, because it's still a struggle, whose partners don't give my business outside. And I'm saying multiple people now. I've heard this question be asked when I followed my mom to ministrations, right? And my mom is a preacher, you know, much more a marriage counselor. So what, in your thoughts, how, I don't know if you have any, it's okay if you don't, but what do you think?
I just have an idea. Again, like I said, it's not like reporting. And I think women are more communicable. Like, we like to talk. Like, we just have to talk about this thing. We like someone to mentor us, like especially if you hear like someone, can you be my mentor? Can you be my spiritual mentor? You hear a lot of that from women more than men. True. And there's something about men, it's more like an ego. Yes. It's just in them. Like I like my corner. I like to be respected. I don't like as just talking. Yeah, and so that's why I say it's not more of reporting, it's more of who do you know, or who do you think that he is? Who do you think that he is answerable? Who do you think that he could be? He respects or holds in high esteem, right? Yeah. And you can, it's just a conversation like, babe, how far do you think that we can just people who you feel like can, you know, mentor us, again, that can just lead us. It could be like a young couple who you both love and respect, but are... as we can just feel like we can just go and visit them, or just hear their story, or like let's just hear them. So again, like just to tie this, is like you're not reporting, because in this world right now, there's just a lot to learn. There are people with wealth of experiences, right, that could have gone through this path, that could also pour into us, right? So again, it's just a conversation, like you can approach gently, and if he says no, all well and good, right? You can prayerfully just say, God, and God made the Holy Spirit. Like that's what I said, as long as he's submitted to the Holy Spirit, you can, the Holy Spirit is now becomes your, you know, father-in-law, and he's also your father, right? And go and meet him, like, Holy Spirit, like,
talk to your son.
This journey, we cannot do it alone. Like, the, you know, sent to my spouse or my you know, fiance, just send to him the right people we need in this moment, the right people we need to walk this path of relationship that we're in, and just trust God to do what he does best. Because sometimes I think we nag our spouses and say, we must get somebody they're not, right? Yeah. So a lot of time they're not, you know, wanting to talk like us, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, that can be open to the idea of, okay, like people who can be shepherd over us, that we can learn from their worth of experience, that they can advise us. So because again,
I can hold us accountable.
Hold us accountable, right? Because again, later on the line, you get the privilege of doing it to other young couples.
Amen.
Because it's not like you're just receiving and receiving. You also get to pour into other couples, like from your wealth of experience. So yeah, that's. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh yes, you did. Oh yes, you did. I think there's no one way to it. I think the one thing I always say is that I don't have 10 ways to have a successful long distance, or 10 ways to have a five breakdowns, or five keys to a successful marriage. It's okay. Like, there are trusted pastors. I'm thinking about Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo. There are fathers of faith, you know, who are into that ministry, of like relationship and marriage. In my personal opinion, I'm speaking of myself now, I think that there's only one key and success to marriage, and that's submitting to God. Because God takes every relationship and every marriage and every couple through different routes, right? And so even in that, which a good mentor, quote unquote, will tell you, is that this is their own experience. It doesn't mean that you have to copy and paste it for word. It's that you must still take all those things and those experiences that you receive and still put it under the light of God. Is this your, because for instance, this is funny, but it's true. For instance, if your mentor couple said, they worked hard to buy a house at their fifth wedding anniversary, and you are in wedding anniversary 4.5, you have 5 months left, you're not be telling your husband, did you not hear them that they bought house in 5 years? Which is a more comic example, but we can go deep and deep in how those things play out. Is that sometimes some of us take these things and run with it without still submitting to God. Mm-hmm. Everything must still be submitted to God, because every relationship, every journey, every path is different, right? Under the help of God and with the help of God. So that's my own one key to success. That's my own one key to marital relationship, fiancé, courtship, success. Mm-hmm. Or whatever relationship it is, even if it's being friend relationship, is to submit it to God. You know, and trust that God is leading you for the season and that He will keep leading you. Like you said, if we're taking it to the Holy Spirit to touch that, it might be the season that you are not even like, I don't want to touch anybody. That's when they're not be like, okay, let's stop.
Yes.
I've seen God touch the hearts of men who maybe their wives have been telling them to, please, let's pray, let's have family time. You're not going to church, you're not doing this thing. Please, let's go to church, let's do that. And they're not doing it. They're like, okay, I'm not going to turn you to fight. I'm going to keep praying.
Yeah.
It might be in the season of that wife's weakness spiritually that God will now raise her husband as an army.
You know? I've had such experience before. Mm-hmm. Like with my husband. Like one time I was like really, really ungrateful. It was like I was having a personal revival. I'm like, this man, he's doing his babs, but I don't care if you feel this fire.
This fire is
you better do it on like the bed. You know. And the funny thing is, I was having, and I want to say it, and I will feel the Holy Spirit restrain me. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your problem? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you always nagging? You know, and He said, start to pray for your husband. Go on your knees, intercede for your husband. Be like, just begin to pray. And the funny thing is, one particular day came to me and was like, I'm quote unquote jealous of your relationship with God. Like, and I noticed that you'd be praying, you'd be doing this thing, you never nag me and say, and you, why are you not praying?
I remember that conversation.
We had it's like you just felt in love with me, man. It was just like, Kenny, like, can you teach me? Can you share? Because for me, I just like almost as if those people like, what is your problem? Mm. Like, just keep your mouth shut and trust me with your husband. Mm. Like, you are not God.
Yep.
You're not the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. And you open the door in your home to let the Holy Spirit do His work. So, yeah. It's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Kenny's on fire for it. She's giving us things. She knows how to choke us. So that we're not needing to be drinking too much water.
And I'm not a perfect person. I'm absolutely not perfect. I'm so flawed.
No.
I'm constantly learning.
No.
Yeah, sometimes I really don't listen, which is terrible. Mm. But overall, and thank God for God, He's just like...
I think, like, you know, I remember episode one is that the fact that, you know, I talk about these things, if it's a solo episode or if it's an episode we guess where we talk about these things and it's like, oh, they're saying these things, or they're saying listen to the Holy Spirit, they're saying, you know, trust God, they're saying submit to somebody, it's not because we have attained, we might actually be even going through 99% of what we're saying, we might actually be trusting God in our secret places for these things that we are saying, that Holy Spirit, help me to listen to you more, help me to submit to you more,
yes.
Help me not to nag this thing, you know, on my husband, or help me not to nag this thing on my wife. So whenever, and which God help us, whenever he listen to PGC or listen to anywhere, just remember that God is, and I hope they tell you as well, that God is working through all of us. And I don't have to have completely attained for me to be able to speak on something. Is when I now come and I'm like, you all don't do this, but I do it. You all are not good this way. I think that's the error. But sometimes we're like, for instance, if I say I listen to this, and then you see me maybe tomorrow doing, saying something, and I'm like, I did not listen to this bit, or it's not as Christianish as you want me to behave. And you're like, maybe she doesn't attend a podcast, I should listen to the Holy Spirit. It's going to be your loss, because I never told you that I have attained. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't practice what we preach, but we can still be attaining, we can still be growing, you know, and we can still talk on some of these things that are helping us or that we are doing in our secret place. I don't know, I just felt really led to just, as we kind of wrap things up and end, to mention that specifically, that we are all growing, and there's no end to growth. Do you, if you could encourage somebody just in whatever thing that has to do with relationship, long distance or not, or being a believer and being in relationships, I don't know which part of our conversation framework that you want to pick, but I just want to say something and it's just encourage someone's heart.
Absolutely. I think what, you know, I just want to say is just trust that God loves you unconditionally. I think we go through issues and circumstances and we try to define God by the things we go through. And, you know, God's love is not circumstantial. No. It's not conditional. God's love is not our feelings, you know. So God is absolutely just, absolutely true. And guess what? If we will not withhold Jesus from you, if we will give Jesus to die for you, trust me, he loves you. And he didn't give Jesus when we're perfect, right? He gave Jesus when we're at our lowest low, when we hated him completely. So I want you to know that whatever you're going through, it could be good, it could be you know, quite challenging. Trust that God has your back. And he loves you and wants the very best for you. And if you can just say, okay, God, you know what? I'm tired of struggling on my own. I just hand over the wheels to you. I'm just surrendering to you. Trust that it will lead you in the way, you know, that is just, and don't trust him to lead you in a certain way. Trust him to lead you in his own way. Because again, he formed you right and he wrote your story. He wrote your path. Is this the end from the beginning? So trust him that he has your back. You get back.
Work with God the Son. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Kenny. Thank you for sharing and for your vulnerability. It's always, you know, a pleasure to have people just come on and share and, you know, just be and bear it, you know, as much as they can. There's gonna be a part two to this season. I'm not gonna say what the part two is gonna look like, but when the part two comes, you will know. When the one arrives, we know that, okay, this is the one. So there's going to be a part two to this, and I cannot wait. It's going to be an episode special. It might be the final episode of the season, something along those lines, but it's going to be a banger. You see that we're kind of sharing something, that kind of putting a little bit, but not going too deep, because we're going to go much, much deeper. So thanks, Kenny, for coming on to PGC, and thanks everyone for listening. Share, like, you know, let people know, you know, that need to join, and we will see you on another episode. Thanks everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you everyone.